You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Keep your business compliant and your employees happy. We Do HR Support is your go-to for all things HR. Check us out at wedo-hr.com.
Good morning. This is Get Radio. Welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and knowledge of business leaders, large and small, with you, the listener, and this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're going to be talking about something that's so important, which is the importance of owner-managed businesses knowing their numbers. And to do that, we're joined by three experts. So we're joined by Hannah Chatfield of Chatfield Accountancy, Eddie Souter of Tim's Wealth Management, and Stuart Walsh of Better Business. This is The Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our three guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to The Business Brunch. Hope you enjoyed that song. Today, I'm really excited, actually, to be talking about the importance of owner-managed businesses knowing their numbers. So let's start by introducing our three experts. So let's start with Hannah. Please tell everyone all about you and indeed your business.
Good morning, Ben. I'm Hannah and I work, I run Chatfield Accountancy. So I'm an accountant. I work with a range of small owner-managed businesses in the local area, helping them to understand the numbers and kind of what's making their business tick. I like getting quite involved with businesses that need that guidance through their growth and development journey to help kind of point them in the right direction. Yeah, so that's me, Hannah at Chatfield Accountancy.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And Adie, you're up next.
Thank you, Ben. Good morning. Yeah, I'm Adie Souter of Tim's Wealth Management. And essentially, I help people make the most of their money, whether that's individuals or business owners, and primarily through pensions, etc., and protection, but covering the sort of the broader scope of financial planning. That's me.
Amazing. And last but definitely not least, Stuart.
Good morning. So I'm Stuart Walsh of Better Businesses. I've had a career of many years now financing businesses, both large and small. And now Better Businesses exist to help people who want to either start, grow or sell their business.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Stuart, I'm going to stay with you and give you the first short straw, if that's OK. So as with Hannah and Adie later in the show, you have kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
So my song is Shape of You by Ed Sheeran, because I asked my wife about which song choice I should pick, and she was horrified that most of my music tastes probably stem from the 70s and 80s, which would horrify most of your listeners who probably weren't even born then. So I said, let's pick an Ed Sheeran song. I like Ed Sheeran. So it just came down to that. I think he's an extremely talented individual. So, yep, Ed Sheeran was my choice.
Oxfordshire Station. Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that very fitting song for a Sunday morning chosen by Stuart, we've heard from our three experts, Hannah, Adie and Stuart, about what they do. So today, what we're really talking about is the importance of you, the business owner, or the owner-managed business, really knowing your numbers. And Hannah, I'm going to start with quite a big question for you, if that's okay. What does it mean to know your numbers? What does that mean?
It's about having a better understanding of what's going on in the business. A lot of businesses rely on just seeing what's in their bank to tell them if they're being successful or not, and that's not always the best indicator. There's also businesses that look overall at total income instead of breaking it down into individual revenue streams to see which of those streams are making them profit and which might not be. I've certainly had people who I've worked with in the past where they're chasing a certain income stream thinking that's really good for them, and actually it's the least profit making stream once we've dug into the figures. So for me, it's about digging deeper than just looking at the headline figures and getting a real understanding of what's in there and what's kind of making the business work.
Absolutely. And AD, I think one of the things that I often see is that business owners often separate themselves personally to the business finance. Is that the right thing to do, or should it be a whole consideration?
Wow. Yeah, that's an interesting point. It's at the end of the day, these things can be very separate. Although if you're self-employed, of course, you know, your income is your income. So the two are very much entwined. I think sort of picking up on what Hannah was saying as well about sort of recognising the different income streams, I think as well, it's about keeping a track of this all the time as well. It's no good just getting to sort of year end and then sort of trying to work out, well, you know, what does it look like? At the end of the day, it all comes down to cash flow. That's the essential thing here. And that's a parallel that I see between businesses and individuals, not having enough liquidity, not understanding where you might run out of cash.
Absolutely. I'm sure. I think it's very right to talk about better businesses. Is your business name? I think finance is probably the most important thing in business in some ways, in terms of ensuring that actually you've got more money coming in than you've got coming out. What's your take on that piece?
Well, I think, you know, everything you do in your business is designed to make a profit. Mm. And knowing whether you're making a profit or not shows up in your financial statements. Mm. So not having any understanding of those financial statements is a bit like trying to drive a car without any instruments. You know, I mean, you wouldn't get in your car if you didn't have a fuel gauge. Mm. So, you know, if the fuel was cash, you need to know you're going to have enough cash to survive your journey. So a basic understanding of the financials is absolutely critical to being able to manage your business. And as Hannah pointed out, the different aspects of what's going on in your business show up in your accounts. So if you don't know which area of your business is the most profitable or the loss-making part of your business, then you can get into real trouble really quickly if you don't understand what's actually happening there. So fundamental is to understand actually those what's going on in your numbers. And it's not difficult. That's the important thing for business owners to understand. Most of the people I come across who really have an aversion to wanting to understand their finances is because they don't understand it. But it really isn't complicated. If you can add and subtract, you can get to understand the numbers if somebody shows you that properly enough.
No, really, really interesting point. And Hannah, I'm just going to come across to you because something you mentioned in the open to this round table was very much about profitability. And I think it's something that both AD and Stuart have touched on since. I think we hear a lot in the media, whether it be on social media or whether it even be a networking event, this business is amazing because they've got a turnover of X. This business is amazing because of X. Why do we talk in turnover and not profit? Because surely profit's the key thing that we should be aiming for here.
Yeah, I think a lot of businesses can be drawn to just looking at sales and what's coming into the business. We've got that turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. You know, it's looking at all three areas together and really getting that grasp on your business. You could do millions of pounds worth of sales, but if it's not a profitable business, you're still going to be in a loss-making position, and you could keep funneling and going on the journey you're going on to keep increasing sales with the business model you already have and not become any more successful in terms of profitability. So it's definitely a part of everything, and it's always a good thing to say, you know, oh, I've got a seven-figure turnover business and things like that, because it makes you look really great. But it's understanding and getting deeper than that to know that if you can sell all that stuff, are you making a profit out of it? Because at the end of the day, all owner-managed businesses are in it, you know, we're in it to make a living. You know, we want to do well, we want to make a profit. You know, if you've got staff and everything else, you need to be able to pay them and take all of that on. So just focusing on turnover isn't a great idea, but I think it's often used as a good way to kind of introduce a business to say how big or successful you might be. But, you know, when I speak with clients, it's, or potential clients, what's turnover, what's profit, what's going well, what's not, and just getting that all-round understanding.
Also, Ben, I think one of the things that jumps out at me from that comment from Hannah is that people who often say to me when I first meet new clients is, oh, my turnover is £500,000. But it's absolutely meaningless unless you compare that number to something else. Mm-hmm. So £500,000 might be great. But if last year your number was £750,000, suddenly you've lost money. But if last year it was £200,000, suddenly your business is growing. So whether you're comparing your number to last month or last year or to a business plan, which is even better, it's meaningless by itself. It has to be compared to something else to give it context, mm-hmm. to make it meaningful and tell you the story.
No, really, really good point. Really good point. AD, I'm going to talk pensions. I knew it wouldn't take me too long. But I think one of the things that, again, I see very regularly is, and doing the show, we actually had a show probably 8 weeks ago now, which was about exiting your business. And I think two stats really stuck with me there. So 80% of businesses that go to market for sale aren't sold. And of the 80 businesses that, sorry, of the 20% that still are sold, 70% of those business owners regret the decision. So if my math is correct, roughly, forget the decimal point, about 7% of businesses that go to market are sold and then they're happy with that. So I guess with that in mind, I think one of the things that not enough business owners do is pay into their pension. And a disclaimer here, we're not giving financial advice. But could you just talk through, I guess, kind of the process or the consideration of pension being your exit by paying in monthly into a pension scheme?
Okay, yeah. So again, this is why numbers are so important in keeping a track on those numbers, because there's that opportunity, essentially, to get some value out of your business now, rather than relying on some unknown sales value, you know, sort of 20, 30 years into the future. And essentially, it then means as a business owner, you're also diversifying, because you're not just then solely reliant on the work you put into your business and how well your business does. What you've managed to do is create a separate stream of income for later on in life. So that's why it's so vital. There's also a tax saving opportunity there. If you're self-employed, there's an income tax saving. If you're a limited company, there's a corporation tax saving there as well. But it comes down to those numbers and understanding, you know, what that opportunity is.
No, amazing. Something slightly less complex, but probably a more difficult question considering your area of expertise is, similar to Stuart, you have kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. So what is your song choice and why have you picked it?
So listening to what Stuart said about avoiding something from the 70s and 80s. So I've actually gone with AC/DC, Let There Be Rock. I sort of got into listening to AC/DC at a very important time in my life. It was sort of around the time I found myself homeless, amongst other things, but there was an awful lot going on around that time. It's a wonderful song. I was reminded of it a couple of weeks ago when I was at Wembley to watch them. And it also, there's also a parallel between that song, which tells a story, but that song and the book I'm currently reading, which is Soul Music by Terry Pratchett, if anybody's familiar with the Discworld series. That's it. AC/DC, Let There Be Rock.
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is The Business Brunch, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song with a great story behind it, chosen by AD. So thank you for that, AD. We've been speaking with our three experts, so Hannah, AD and Stuart, all about the importance of you, the business owner, knowing your numbers, or if you don't know your numbers, getting into a position where you do know your numbers. So Hannah, I'm just going to come across to you, if that's okay, and just talk about the starting point. So I guess, what is that starting point for a business in terms of being in the position to know their numbers at any one point? What things should they be considering?
Okay, so with that, what I tend to do when I go out and speak to clients on this, right from sort of the very first outset, is how are they maintaining their accounting records and their numbers? Are they using something cloud-based, which most businesses do nowadays, like QuickBooks and Xero? They are giving you a very good idea because you've got live data coming in as to what the business is doing. So it's starting with that. How are you keeping the initial records? And then how can we interpret those? What reports can we be running to better understand the business, whilst also in the background looking at any business plan they may already have and discussing sort of growth opportunities? So I like to kind of find out, where are they going in 5 years time? What are their plans for the next year? How are they going to break that down into smaller objectives? And then filter that back through into the reporting, so that when we're running a report and they're saying they want to do, you know, say it's a construction business and they want to do more work with big contractors, for example, what's their split of income? How profitable is that for them by running different projects and things within the accounting system? So I think the key to understanding all of it is having a good system in place in the first place, understanding that, and if it's not something you're too au fait with, is to either delegate or outsource that function of the bookkeeping and the reporting to somebody who is able to then, you know, give that back to the client in a manner that they understand, you know, through quarterly meetings, regular catch-ups and things like that. So it's a lot about input and then discussion.
No, absolutely. I promise I'm not going off on a tangent here, and I'm coming to you in a moment, Stuart. But a couple of weeks back, we had Michelle that was on The Apprentice, and she was an amazing guest. So do listen back to that show. But I think one of the big things we see on The Apprentice, for those who are Apprentices fans, in the boardroom meetings, there is always a business plan that doesn't have numbers in it. You've missed out your numbers. You don't know your numbers. And Stuart, I'm just very keen to come across to you on this one, because you've mentioned business plans already in the show, as have Hannah and AD. So what should be in a good business plan? And can a business plan help you to understand your numbers?
I think a business plan is essential. In the business I ran before this that I sold was called Franchise Finance, and we helped thousands of franchisees get into business. And in the early days of that, we realized that they really didn't understand how to put a business plan together. And we started that service up to help by creating business plans for people for that very reason. They were undercapitalizing their business. They weren't putting enough money in at the start of their business because they hadn't done a proper business plan. So what's essential about kind of the business plan, you want to have thought through actually what is your particular business model. How are you going to go to market? How will you market that particular business? What are your goals and objectives that you want to do? But from that, all that feeds into a financial forecast of a profit and loss account, a cash flow forecast, and a balance sheet. All three of those hang together, and from that it's going to tell you how much money you need to start and run your business, whether it's going to be profitable enough to make it worthwhile running your business, and to help you understand kind of, will it achieve your objectives? You know, what is your goal here? If you need to earn a certain level of income, say, for your lifestyle, then the business plan is going to tell you, is that possible with the business that you're looking to go into? So kind of like we used to liken it to like a car sat nav, okay? If you wanted to go on a journey you've never been before, you turn on the sat nav, it helps you take you there. If you start a business without a business plan, it's like driving your car without sat-nav. How do you know if you're going to get where you want to go? And how do you know if you're going off course? So those financial statements that you prepare in your business plan, the technology now allows you to kind of upload those into your financial system, whether that's Xero or QuickBooks or whichever software you're using. And then at the press of a button, you can see what your results are compared to your plan. And you know whether you're ahead of plan, behind plan. And what that helps you do is to make decisions about your business to direct the future. So if you're not hitting the sales levels, you could ask yourself, what can I do to grow my sales levels? If I'm not making enough profit, or where is it varying against my plan? Where did I think it should be? So understanding the numbers helps you take action in your business to make it successful. And that's why it's so critical to actually understand how these numbers hang together, because it's not just about what they're telling you on paper, but it's about what actions you take in the real world to drive your business forward successfully.
No, really, really good point there, Stuart. Thank you for that. I think a phrase that I've heard lots of times before, and I believe it comes from a well-known book, but we're claiming it this morning, is having no plan is a plan to fail, which is so true, isn't it? Adi, I know that one of the things that, that you and the team are so good at Tim's Wealth Management is that plan. And mainly whether that be that plan to retire or play for, pay for children to go to university or whatever. I suppose it's in some ways it's irrelevant. But I guess what kind of questions should you be asking yourself as a business owner for that plan, whether that be the plan to exit, whether that be the plan to retire, whether it be the plan to sell the business. But what are, I guess, are the key considerations in a plan?
Okay, so first of all, I think I'm sort of just going back to when I made my career move and started this. I probably could have done with Stuart and Hannah's help at that point in actually determining a business plan for myself. Because I can remember being asked in that first year, well, you know, what's your goal? What is it you want to achieve here? And for me, you know, in that first year, it was largely around, I just want to be able to sort of know that I can do this. So it was very much a vague, you know, sort of, I had nothing to compare against, etc. So I suppose one of the key things there, ideally, is don't make the mistake I did in the early years. And as Stuart said, you know, have a very clear plan. And you're right. It's, I mean, Stephen Covey talks about begin with the end in mind. And it's ideally it's right. Okay, great. I'm gonna start this business, but then what's at the end of it? You know, what is my exit strategy, etc. And then I think that then helps to then determine, well, what are the numbers I need to achieve in order to do that? How am I going to structure this business? Do I want employees? Do I just want to work for myself, etc. I think those are the key things for me, really. It's reaching out and using the experts around you to help you determine that.
Absolutely. AD's very much set you up there, Hannah, in terms of the next question, if that's okay. I think the word expert is used a lot. So you as an accountancy expert will always know more about accountancy than I will. So I guess one of the big things we see in owner management businesses is that they go out in business because they are really, really passionate about football, or they're really passionate about decorating or whatever. But actually, we need to wear a lot of hats within business. You know, we need to have a finance hat and a marketing hat and a sales hat or whatever. I guess, at what point can you, as an excellent accountant, what can you give a business owner under the finance umbrella? And at what level do they need to know themselves? So if we look at the topic of this show in terms of knowing your numbers, how much do they need to take responsibility for? Or how much could they outsource and you just do for them, if that sort of makes sense? Big question, I apologise.
That's good. I like what you said about wearing hats, because I often have that conversation with my client. They are the finance director, the marketing director, they're the employee in the business, they're the boss running it and everything else, and it gets a lot. So every business is different, but the amount of businesses that I speak to where they say, we wish we'd spoken to you when we started our business, I think demonstrates the fact that being armed with all the tools right from the very beginning is often the best way to go. It can prevent you from making poor choices in terms of how you're running in the business or taking money out of the business. It's ensuring you've got an understanding of all the things you need to meet. You know, there's a big difference between running a limited company and being a sole trader, and a lot of people don't necessarily understand that when they start out. So I think reaching out at the very beginning is really key to get the information you need. And it might be that in the early days there's not a lot going through the business. You're building it, you're working it up, and you are able to wear all of those hats and still run all the accounting side of things and, you know, have your own business plan drawn up and everything else. But as the business grows, it's really important to review things before you get so busy that you end up not doing anything, because you're spread so thin on all the things. And at that point, sort of saying, oh, actually, I really need some help with my business plan for the next year and management on that. Or Hannah, actually, do you know what? I'm sat every Saturday evening trying to update Xero. It's really annoying me. Can I just hand it over to you? You know, people want to have the time there to be able to spend on running their business, but also having their personal lives as well. So for each business, it varies. It depends where you're at right at the very beginning. But my key is always ask for the help and the advice slightly before you find you've got yourself into a hole that's more difficult to get out of.
Oh, absolutely. Stuart, we've touched on this a little bit already, but I know that you, as you've touched on earlier in the show, you work with a lot of, or have worked with a lot of businesses at that business plan stage right at the start. I guess that really exciting part of business I find. But then on the flip side of that, you exited your business and you sold your own business. I guess, what can you do at the start that enables you to be in a really good position to exit for X at the end? And what needs to be the consistent things that happen over the period of time or happen right at the end prior to exit? Sorry, another big question.
No, but I think it's a really important question because when I work with clients now who are starting businesses, the first question I ask them often surprises them. And I ask them, what's their exit plan? Because when you start a business, you know, at some point you're going to want to sell it to realize the value you've created in that business. So the question actually starts right at the very beginning. So when you're starting to plan your business and putting your business plan together, you've got to think, well, you know, who's going to buy this business? What will attract somebody to want to buy this business in the end? And that helps your decision making whilst you're running the business. So when you come right back to the very start, you're going to build a business plan because I'm an expert plumber, or I'm an expert in making widgets, whatever your business model is. You are going to be the expert in that. So you build a business plan around that that generates cash flow and profit. But if you want to sell your business in the future, you have to start and prepare for that sale a long way in advance. People don't just pitch up and say, okay, I'll buy your business and give you lots of money. That's the expectation a lot of business owners have. And it really surprises me that they wake up one morning and think, okay, I'm going to sell my business. They call me up, Stuart, can you sell my business? Whoa, you've got a journey to go through here. Mm-hmm. So in order to be able to sell any business, you need to prepare it for that. And that can start 3 years before you're actually ready to sell. So you can imagine that any business at all has to have that in mind from the very beginning. Mm. And some of the basic things you can do is to simply put all of the controls and reporting in place for your business so that anyone coming in can see the history of your business and see how it's grown. So like the financial systems that Hannah was talking about, you've got to have robust accounting systems in there. You've got to have data that people can follow. You've got to have a track record of increasing performance. You know, there's a whole bunch of things around there that you need to do to prepare your business for sale, which is why, and you mentioned this earlier, Ben, so many people fail to sell their business. But, you know, nearly all of the businesses I work with where I'm selling a business, nobody's ever been through that journey before. It's a very rare occurrence for most people. They've been running a business for the rest, but selling a business is a very specific thing. So it's about going to get the expertise that you need. Again, Hannah mentioned that with the accounting side of things. So, you know, if you're running a business and you're very busy in the business, kind of the bookkeeping can wait, you know, because nobody's pressurizing me to do that. But actually, the information that's going to give you is invaluable. So outsource that. Get somebody else there to do that. But you made a good point, Ben. You said, can you outsource the responsibility? And the answer is, if it's your business, you can't outsource the responsibility. You can outsource the work. You can outsource somebody to prepare your financial statements for you. But you need to take the ownership of understanding those numbers yourself. And if you don't, that's okay. Go and find out, because there's so many places now. You can go online, you can do courses, you could go and talk to your accountant like Hannah, and she would be able to explain them for you. But don't stick it under a cupboard and ignore it. You have to get involved with this side of things, because ultimately, if you want your business to succeed and you want to be able to sell it for a real value at the end of that, then it's all in the numbers, and you have to understand.
I couldn't agree more, Stuart. I think that most finance people hate it when I mention this person's name, so apologies in advance. But one of the things I think Martin Lewis is just so good at is he says the worst thing you can do in money is bury your head in the sand, whether it be business or personal. And that's one of the big things that he says that I really, really agree with. Hannah, do you have anything to add on that piece?
Yeah, it was burying head in the sand, actually. It's something I see quite a lot, you know, and having responsibility for your numbers is really key. But a lot of people get scared by them and think if they don't open the brown envelopes that are coming through the door from the revenue, if they don't do anything with their figures, it will all just disappear. And it doesn't. And they're just stuck there, you know, head in the sand, taking absolutely no responsibility whatsoever. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And in those situations, it's really, really important that they reach out for help from the expertise who can help them. You know, it's a big pain barrier to get through. You push through that and then you're up to date going forwards. And you're always responsible for your own numbers, your own reporting and how the business is running. But you can have a team around you, be that in-house or outsourced professionals who can help guide you along the way.
No, absolutely. Hannah, as with AD and Stuart, it's your turn for a tough question. So what is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Okay, so I didn't put quite so much thought into mine. I just went for one of my favourites, which is Spice Girls and Spice Up Your Life. It's one of those songs that when it's on, if I'm with my friends, we're all singing, we're badly dancing and just having a really good time. So yeah, it's a song that makes me happy and has good memories.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you weren't dancing and singing along to that song, we're all really disappointed in you. So do better next time. But now back to business. So AD, I'm going to bring the conversation onto you with just really a... I guess kind of quite a big question again, I apologize, is just really about how do you define how much? And I think that it's going to be a different number for everyone, isn't it? But I think that we talk a lot about a business plan and you should be targeting yourself to make this much turnover or this much profit or this much cash. And I think that individually we want to retire on a certain amount of money, or we want to be rich. But in reality, like what are the considerations to help people listening at home, other than coming to have a coffee with you, which would be the best thing to do? What are the things that they can really think about in terms of identifying how much, whether that be for their business or whether that be for themselves as individuals, rather than just plucking a figure out of the air?
Okay. So people often ask me this when they're sort of thinking about retiring and are we going to have enough or how much is enough? And typically it comes down to expenditure. And again, this is so true within the business as well, of understanding what your expenditure needs are. So it's, for individuals, it's about looking at, well, what does your expenditure look like now? What are you spending money on? And then, right, okay, how is that going to change if you retire or when you retire? It could be for in some ways the costs go down, it could be the costs go up. But again, I usually have a conversation with most clients around the fact that most people underestimate their expenditure. And I think that's probably true of businesses as well. So where they haven't got a really good handle on what they're spending money on, obviously it's going to impact their numbers. So and it is different for everybody. Largely, most people want to live at least the same sort of, have at least the same sort of lifestyle that they currently enjoy. In some cases, they'd like it to be better. I don't know many people who actually want to have a lifestyle that's not as good as their current lifestyle. For me, that's largely where it starts. It's, what are your expenditure needs and identifying those. And then from that, you can determine, well, what's an amount then, based on or what sort of age, can you retire based on the amount that you expect to have?
Absolutely. Sure, I'm going to bring a similar question across to yourself, if that's OK. I think that through running this show for the last three or four years and networking, I think I've met quite a lot of people who have been really, really happy running a business with five staff or whatever, and then have read a business book or have listened to a podcast and then suddenly have the ambition to be 10 million or whatever. And I guess I'm just keen to gauge your thoughts on that, because of course there isn't a one size fits all, but is it important that if we go right back to the really good point that you made earlier in the show in terms of what's your exit, you should be planning that at the start of your business. Should should you be, you know, if you're having good years, should you change your objective and go for 10 million or go for 20 million or whatever? Or actually, should your exit be planned on what you wanted at the start? I appreciate that's a little bit of a muddled question, but hopefully you can untie the knot.
I think there's a lot in that question. And I think where it starts for me is a question I start with any client that I meet now. And that is, I start with what their personal goals are. Because until you understand what's driving people and what they personally want to get out of their business, everything else falls from that. And if you don't get that starting point right, then it's very difficult to advise anyone where they want to go. So the question is, do they stay a small business or do they massively grow that business? That's going to depend on the opportunity that presents itself with the business that they're running. Does it have the capability to scale up? And then the second question is to look at their personal goals there, because not everyone is equipped to deal with what's required to run a massively successful multi-million pound business. So if that's where you want to go, you need to look at what your own skills are in that, because starting a business and being an entrepreneur is one thing. Being a manager of a multi-million pound business is usually a different skill set. So as you grow your business, you have to accept kind of what are your strengths and weaknesses that you bring to the party, and know at what point in that journey do you need to bring in outside help or appoint maybe a managing director or a CEO of the business to take it to its next level. If you've got the wherewithal to be a creative person and start a business, that might be what your skill set is. That doesn't necessarily always go hand in hand with running a business. You look like, take somebody like Richard Branson, for example, incredibly great entrepreneur, starting all sorts of diverse different businesses. And then he hands it over to a good CEO who then runs that business for him. He doesn't do the day-to-day stuff. Mm. And I think he would probably say that's not where he either wants to be or enjoys being. So, you know, that journey of your business depends on your own personal goals, where you want to take the business. Does the business have the capability to grow to that level? And if it does, are you the right person at each stage of that journey to take it forward and to recognize at what point you need to bring in a team of people around you that can support you in doing that? And one of the areas we're talking about today is finance. So at what point do you bring in a finance person? You know, you might be great at the marketing side, but sales, maybe that's not your thing. What point do you then bring in somebody who can support you? And then it comes to a crucial decision. One of the toughest things in business is then how do you hire the right people? And I know you and I've worked in the past, Ben, you've successfully recruited a number of people into my business. And that for me was really, really crucial, getting the right people in who had the skills that I didn't really have in the business that I needed to bring in to support my journey to get me to achieve my goals where I wanted to go. So, a bit of a long-winded answer. I hope that answers your question, but it's a multifaceted answer.
No, amazingly so. Amazingly so. Thank you. And Hannah, I think my question for you is really about when it goes wrong. Is something that I think we've been really I think the three of you have been so honest today. So thank you for that. But I'm just really keen to understand from a finance point of view, and I appreciate it's going to vary case to case, but when it does go wrong, so when you're having that bad quarter or when COVID happens, again, hopefully never, but the unforeseen happens and you're in a position where you go from being really profitable to not having enough customers and maybe not making profit. What's your advice under that umbrella?
Okay, well, I think to start with, as we've spoken about all along, is having that understanding of your numbers and being on top of things regularly is going to highlight this issue to you much sooner than perhaps a business that hasn't kept on top of everything and then suddenly sees a few months later their bank balance fall. And at that point, it's kind of the event has happened and they might be too late to make any changes or deal with it. So again, the key is having that understanding as you're going along, so that at the earliest possible opportunity, you are starting to see warning signs, you know, a price is suddenly rocketing on your materials. And if you don't do something about your pricing structure, you're going to turn loss making. Something like COVID, can you diversify your business? You know, we were all very much face to face and everything before that. And then a lot of things, you know, came up online and people had to find other ways to deliver what they could in their business or to understand the sort of the rules and the laws around different professions and trades as to who could still go to work and who couldn't. So, but it's having that understanding of everything around you. And again, it's then not burying your head in the sand. Mm. It's having that conversation, picking the phone up, you know, Hannah, we've got a problem in the business. This is going wrong. It might be a cash flow issue. We need to raise more finance to help get us through this next quarter that's not looking good, but we're putting these measures in place to change the business, but we need X amount of money to get to that, you know, and then I can pop them in contact with the right people. But it's all about having conversations, not burying your head in the sand, and just being able to adapt and change. And in some cases, it might be end of line for a part of the business. You know, everything has changed and they diversify and start doing something new, but it's key to talk and not to ignore it.
Absolutely.
And I would add to that that, you know, I spend a lot of time financing businesses, and so we often see when they go wrong. And the biggest challenge we have with that is, and the point that Hannah made was, people bury their heads in the sand and they ignore that it's going on. And the problem with that is, actually, had they not buried their head in the sand, had they looked at it and tried to address it, then there's usually time to fix the problem. But if you bury your head in the sand, then eventually, when it raises its head, you've run out of cash, you've run out of time, and there's nothing can be done. But I would encourage anyone who's going through a difficult period to certainly talk to their accountant. And also, if you've got any borrowings, finance outstanding, then talk to those lenders. The earlier you address all of this, the more time you've got to fix it. Hannah mentioned you might better go out and borrow more money. Well, if you do that early in the cycle, before the problem gets too bad, lenders are more than happy to talk to you about that. But if you leave it and leave it and leave it, then there's really, even the lenders have got no option. They won't lend to you at that point. So if you want to save your business from going under, if you want to protect your future, the sooner you recognize I've got a problem and I need to address it, let's deal with this, the more chance you'll have of success. Lots of businesses I've seen go under that didn't need to, if the business owner simply had addressed much sooner the issues that were going on in their business.
No, really, really good advice. Really, really good advice. We are very, very almost at the end of the show. So we've literally probably got a minute at a real push, but probably 30 seconds. Sorry, Get Radio. But one of the things I like to do on this show, and it's going to be a real challenge for the three of you to do it so quickly, but could we just go around the table? And it could be a point that's been discussed already. It could be something I've not asked about. But in a single sentence, what would be your takeaway tip for somebody listening today, or the tip that's already been mentioned that they should highlight in their notepad after listening? So I'm going to start with you, if that's okay, AD. What's your takeaway tip?
Okay, my takeaway tip is, yeah, keep an eye on your numbers, understand what's going on, and do it all the time. Don't wait until the end of the tax year.
Amazing. Hannah, what about yourself?
Is to be armed with kind of the right resources and people around you to help you understand what's going on, and do not bury your head in the sand.
Good advice. And last but not least, Stuart.
I think the same thing. If you don't understand your numbers, that's okay. Many business owners don't. Go find out. There's tons of information out there. There's people that can help you and resources to understand. Go find out and educate yourself on how to understand your numbers.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And what a way to end the show. But thank you so much to our three guests on the Business Brunch here on Get Radio today. Just a reminder, if you are just tuning in, we've been talking about the importance of owner-managed businesses knowing their numbers. And to do that, we've been joined by three experts. So Hannah Chatfield of Chatfield Accountancy, AD Souter of Tim's Wealth Management, and Stuart Walsh of Better Businesses. So thank you so much to the three of you for your time and contribution to a really, really informative hour. So thank you for that. Finally, we are going to be back next week with two guests next week, and we're going to be talking about apprenticeships. And to do that, we're joined by Edward Collett of Abingdon and Whitney College and Jasmine Morassi of the University of Oxford. And we're going to be talking about how you, the Oxfordshire business, could consider apprentices. And we're going to be talking about how two really big organisations in Oxfordshire have literally worked together on hundreds of apprentices. So it'll be a really, really interesting show, that. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. And there is also a podcast version available, which is available via all the major podcast platforms and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format, which is available on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing here across Oxfordshire, do enjoy, and I'll see you next week.